There.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I just want to play that.
I do like that a lot. Okay, now I can say checking in at
number five.
Governor Bruce Rauner is stepping up his efforts to influence the Democratic governor's campaign, purchasing statewide TV time to air a 15-minute ad. 15-minute ad. Think about that. Featuring secretly recorded FBI conversations between then-Governor Rod Blagojevich and businessman J.B. Pritzker, now running for governor on the Democratic side, who is now a leading Democratic governor gubernatorial candidate. Despite the much-hyped nature of Rauner's move, his campaign has spent only about $12,000 to run it on 6 TV stations.
That's it?
I think they're not necessarily the major networks, because
they
can't run a 15-minute ad, right?
Yeah.
They're airing over the weekend. Maybe you saw them.
Well, I heard, what I heard was somebody who's close to Alexei.
Oh, hold on, JB. Hang on one second. Hang on. Hey, go ahead.
So, I actually am calling you about, I think you appoint his replacement, don't you?
Oh, interesting. Let's think about that. You interested in that?
That's the one I would want.
Now, here's how about this scenario.
It makes a lot of sense.
Listen. Extremely open mind on that thing. But don't rule yourself out completely on that Senate thing. That may not be. Look, you ought to see this list, huh?
I'm sure you got it,
I've got a lot of factors to consider. I have to factor, what do I want to do? Where am I going? At some point I've got to support, provide for my family. In a perfect world, provide for your family, do good, keep some sort of viability, and get back in the game at some point if there's any opportunity, but not at this level. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, we don't know what you're saying. And I will say, the thing is hilarious about that is that ominous music underneath, that's not from the commercial. That's actually Blagojevich playing it for the phone call. No, it's not.
It's definitely it's adding to the whole back and forth between these candidates. And remember, we're only in primary season, so Governor Rauner could potentially emerge again he's a primary to run against Jeannie Ives, and then you've got on the other side the Democratic field with several candidates.
Could you imagine being Pritzker or anyone who had to call the governor at that point? He sounds like the worst phone partner. Like, hey, governor, let me tell you, this is what I got for you. Like, just the idea that he just slows it down and talks I got so many ideas in my head, let me tell you. I'd be like, oh, God, I just want to get off this phone.
It is an uneasy eye into the world of what politics
really
was like,
I
hope it's better now, but I'm not so sure on every day. But this was part of also the effort by the Pritzker campaign to say, hey, play all of it, because you're just picking a little clip. And so they said, hey, we'd be happy to play all of it. That's what they're doing. We have a bonus cut right here. Let's listen to that.
I know how Madigan is. He says, I'll give you health care, I'll give you a capital bill. Okay? I'll balance what works with you to balance the budget the way you want to do it. I raise taxes on people. And you make Lisa the senator. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That puts me in a moral dilemma. Because of all of the prospective candidates, what dealing with her, suing us to support Bush kicking 35,000 poor people off of health care.
Yeah, I know.
You know, all that.
Let's do it. You should do it. I'd take that. No.
Morally repugnant. I'd probably have to do it.
I'd do it.
Okay, and then there's an AG I can appoint, JB.
You're doing the right thing for the people.
Are you a lawyer?
Yeah.
There's an AG that I appoint.
Yeah. So we got something there we could work up, huh? I mean, it's fascinating and a little troubling what's happening in politics here in general. You look at someone in Bruce Rauner with tremendous wealth and was able to self-fund a lot of his campaign, and these on the Democratic side, they wanted someone who could sort of compete with that, because you need that. And right now, the two of them are spending $120,000 a day on political ads, and we're only in primary season.
There's a lesson in all of this: no phones.
No,
if you're
phones.
A politician, just don't use the phone.
Don't use the phone.
Do everything in
code.
Keep
a lot of people out of trouble.
Don't speak, period.
Yeah, don't speak.
Don't text. Don't send videos.
Do it in code. Do it like, hey, when you mean 2 o'clock, you mean 5 o'clock. Do
pat everybody
meetings.
Down.
Yeah, like the movie Casino.
Is that what you do, Sammy? I can see you doing that. Hey, wait a minute. Come here a second.
I learned from the best.
Right. You just hang out. You hang out in public places, and you think you're talking about the thing you're supposed to be talking about, but it's all metaphors. That's what you're supposed to do.
What you have to do is speak like John Gruden. Just use terms like spider 2, why banana.
Yeah, right.
Every time you speak.
But see, I'd get lost. I wouldn't be able to speak like that. You just come up with these random...
Something tells me J.B. Pritzker was lost in that.
Elephant purple flash drive negative.
Yeah.
You decrypt that.
I'm not sure I can. Let's move on here. Checking in at
number four.
There's an agreement in the Senate to reopen the federal government. Maybe you've heard they are reopening the federal government. A few procedural measures that still have to pass here. A couple of votes. The legislation would fund the government. Get this, for 17 days. That's what you got here. A temporary spending agreement. Here's White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders during her daily briefing today reading a statement from President Trump.
We were pleased to see Senator Schumer accept the deal that President Trump put on the table from the very beginning, which was to responsibly fund the government and debate immigration as a separate issue. I have a statement here from the President of the United States that I will read. Quote, I am pleased that Democrats in Congress have come to their senses and are now willing to fund our great military, border patrol, first responders, and insurance for vulnerable children. As I've always said, once the government is funded, my administration will work towards solving the problem of very unfair, illegal immigration. We will make a long-term deal on immigration if and only if it's good for our country. End quote.
Be careful for calling it out that you won and everything is in Democrats' cave, because you only have 17 days, and if those issues like military spending and others are addressed and all of the things that you were using as a rallying point are no longer rallying points, and you still, the government gets shut down, there's only one party to blame.
Yeah, I think the Republicans have a lot of work to do still, and so do Democrats in terms of coming up with not only a solution for DACA, what it seems that the president, the official statement from the president is they do want a permanent solution to DACA. Now, whether that's amnesty, citizenship, a path to citizenship, what that is, what that looks like still hasn't been hashed out. And of course, you've got the far left members of the party who are upset that they even came to this agreement today, and the far more on the right side of the Republicans are saying, well, wait a minute, we want strict border security. We want chain immigration ended. There are some other things we want to include in here. And those issues, all of the issues in this pot right now, there isn't a clear consensus.
I don't understand why they can't just look at DACA and fix DACA. All that is saying if you were born in this country, if you came here illegally, your parents came here and you were born here, then you have amnesty. And I understand that that's a tricky situation for people who don't believe in that. But the point being, if that gets on the table and they can work out, that was repealed by President Trump. So the idea that there's some sort of compromise to come together to put that forward, then you can work on a bigger issue that has to do with illegal immigration, undocumented immigrants, everything else that goes in that you just mentioned, chain migration, all that kind of stuff on the side. Start with DACA, move on. But
I think
seems
Republicans
like,
don't want that because they want funding for the wall and for border security.
Everything is conflated. Included. Like, I feel like they're doing this on purpose in Washington to make it seem like it's a bigger issue when it's really, if they just dotted the I's and crossed the T's, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Just open the government. Let's get a real bill. I mean, let's open the government, not for 17 days, but for real. We will follow that. And we should mention, coming up also, we're going to be talking to Natasha Kurecki from Politico. She can break down the governor's race and local issues of local issues involving politics, as well as address what's going on in Washington. Let's take a break here. We're going to check traffic trouble spots, and Violetta Podramatic will do that in just a minute. But first, we're going to go to Judy Pilak, find out what's in her news at the bottom of the hour. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis, Justin Kaufman in today. We're in the middle of the top five of five, but we should say we're standing by in Washington. They're awaiting the president's signature to reopen the government for 17 days.
Do I get my 35 cents back? Is it prorated for the amount of time that was out? I tried to go to like several national parks.
You did?
No, but no. Theoretically, I did.
You thought about it.
I thought about it, and then I didn't go, and now my quality of life has suffered. I said in the last break, I said DACA was kids who were born here. That's not, I misspoke.
Brought
I know that. I understand. They were
children.
Brought here as children. That's instead of born here, I said, should have said brought. Sorry.
That's right. The oldest of which is now 38 years old, and they need some kind of a permanent solution, which the White House has offered to participate in talks on that.
You got a lot of furious texts saying I didn't understand.
Well, keep you honest
but
here.
They do.
That's how it goes.
Misspoke. Thank you.
All right. Big time here, Justin, okay? Checking in at
number three.
An iconic Disney star. Nope, I'm sorry. Number three is actually a Morgan Freeman-related item. Awkwardly called someone out. Did you see this? During the Lifetime Achievement Award speech at the SAG Awards yesterday. Last night, but the person's identity remains a mystery. Freeman was just about to launch into his acceptance speech when he stopped and zeroed in on that certain someone in the front row who appeared to be talking and distracting him.
These moments in your life, hey, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Hey.
Okay, well, you just stand out for me, that's all. These moments in one's life usually will call for an entire litany of thank yous.
Can't talk while Morgan Freeman is talking, especially that set of pipes. But, you know, it is disrespectful. Good for him.
And it
it's
is. I was just hoping, and I didn't see who was in the audience, but I was hoping.
It hasn't been outed yet. TMZ is still looking for him.
It was Oprah.
Oh, stop. Oprah and Gail in front row. Hey, you know what?
I mean, like, God talking to God, right? double the gods.
That's a face-off you don't want to see right there.
Well, you know, there's part of that, too, is that they get up on stage and do that, and you have to recognize it is a broadcast, and we're watching it. So when they do that, you always assume that they've kind of lost focus.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're, hey, I'm talking to you down here in the audience. All right, come on. Remember, this is broadcast. Do your speech. Get off the
stage. Sure, but talk during the other awards. Don't talk to Lifetime Achievement. This is his moment.
But
talks about his lifetime of achievement.
But most of those award shows are about hobnobbing, having a little drink,
Do they serve cocktails at the SAG Awards? Because that always complicates
I got to be honest. The SAG Awards, not on my list of must-see award shows. I didn't even recognize it was.
There was too much football yesterday.
But they aired on TBS, and then we ended up watching the E.
Oh, the red carpet.
The red carpet.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I did see that. I don't think I saw the award show, but I did see that.
Did you like anybody's outfit?
The woman from E who was interviewing, not Juliana, but the other woman, was terrible, and it took me out of it. She kept asking. She asked, I forgot who it was.
The Manny camera with the manicures?
Yeah. She asked one of the people, she asked, so what's it like to be in Ocean's 8? And Olivia Munn, and Ocean's whatever it's going to be. There's new Ocean's 8 or whatever coming out. And she's like, I just have a cameo in it. I'm not really a star of it. And then she's like, well, what's it about? And she's like, I don't really know. Like, it was like, I was like, what am I watching? Throw it back to Rancic.
Oh, at least you didn't see James Franco show up with his pin that he's wearing. He snuck in the back door, they said, because he didn't want any questions about that whole issue. All right, we're running out of time here, so let's check in at
number two.
An iconic Disney star now has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The 90th anniversary of Minnie Mouse celebrated with the star. Katy Perry on hand, along with Disney Chair, CEO Bob Iger, Minnie herself. Well, she had a couple of words to say.
Thank you all so much for this wonderful honor. Oh, I'm so grateful. And I want to thank all my friends from around the world. And Mickey, I'm so happy you're here to share this wonderful day with me. Mwah! That's for you. And this really is the best day ever. Oh, thank you.
Minnie Mouse receiving her star in Hollywood 40 years after Mickey. She did not say me too.
I thought she was going to pull a Natalie Portman. I thought she'd be like, and there's no other stars of my characters. Like, she said something like that. And you'd be like, oh, it got awkward here at Disney.
She was sweet because that's what Minnie Mouse is known for. She's one of those kind voices all the time.
There you go.
We're going to check in now at
number one.
Saturday Night Live's latest cold open focused on how strange things got when Dr. Ronnie Jackson delivered the results of President Trump's physical exam. Here's cast member Beck Bennett as the president's physician.
At the time of examination, the president was 71 years and 7 months young. His resting heart rate was a cool 68 BPM. His weight, a very stout 239 pounds. He has a gorgeous 44-inch Coke bottle waist. His height is 75 inches with legs that, well, they seem to go on forever. Size 12 shoes, so you can fill in the blanks there. And it's my expert medical opinion that the president's got a rocking bod with the perfect amount of cushion for the pushing. And if given the chance, I would. Are there any questions?
Oh, gee.
It's a good show.
It was like his first doctor who said he was in astonishingly excellent condition. Remember that guy, the original guy?
Way too many overt political statements on Saturday Night Live this week that they didn't really hit on. From Bang for the Buck, Pat Tomasulo's show. Much better.
I'm going to have to check that out. I heard great things about it and good ratings for him, too. So congratulations. We should mention, thank you for pointing it out, Texter. Morgan Freeman confirms it was Lily Tomlin who interrupted him during his SAG Awards speech.
She can interrupt.
I guess she's allowed. If anyone's allowed, she's allowed. Her and Meryl Streep, I guess they're allowed.
There you go.
The top five at five.